Greetings, brethren. Welcome to the Sabbath during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this Feast of Unleavened Bread has certainly gone by fast. I hope you've taken the extra time to do extra study, extra prayer, examine your life, and intensify your relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. We live in a world that there are four S's we need to overcome. Satan, sin, society, and self. And all of those are wrapped up in our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And it gets down to, how then do we become unleavened in Jesus Christ? Now let's go back to Exodus 13, and let's see a very important thing as it relates to the church, as it relates to what we are to do, and why the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's a specific reason for it, and there's a specific reason for why, on the Passover, that the firstborn were spared. Because the firstborn are special to God. Firstborn also relates to the church. Because we find in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, that we are the church of the firstborn, with Christ being the firstborn from the dead among many brethren. And God is building his family, and God is producing his government through us. And that is, we will be the firstborn forever. Now let's come to Exodus 13 and verse 1. Here's a special thing that God had in command for the children of Israel, and also explains why he spared the firstborn, because they belong to him. And that's important in relationship to the birth of Jesus Christ. He was the firstborn in the flesh of Mary. And he was also the firstborn from among the dead. And it is only through him that we will enter into the kingdom of God as the nation that is the firstborn nation of God. Verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Sanctify all the firstborn to me. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, of man and of beast, it is mine." And Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt." That's coming out from Satan. That's coming out from society. Now, to come out from the sin within is also right here. So let's see how he brings that out. And of course, remember this. The first commandment is not just, "You shall have no other gods before me." First commandment is, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me." Because he judged all the gods of Egypt on the Passover night. And all the religion from Egypt came from Babylon. So here we have a perfect situation, and we then go ahead and have this amplified spiritually by the New Testament. "Remember this day which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for the Lord brought you out from this place by the strength of his hand. There shall be no unleavened bread eaten," that is during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. "On this day," that is the 15th day of the first month, "you are going out in the month of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord your God shall bring you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in its month. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. and the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Now, the reason is because, as we saw before the Passover, we must eat the flesh of Christ symbolically by the bread, drink the blood of Christ symbolic of the wine, okay? And there shall be no leavened bread seen with you, neither shall there be leaven seen in all your borders. Then here is what we are to do, and this is what we have failed to do as a nation and have failed to do as a people, to teach our children the way of God. Verse 9, and it shall be a sign upon your hand and for a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. So there we have it. Therefore, you shall keep this law in its season from year to year. And of course, we know this foreshadows everything that we do in the New Testament. And this is why the Apostle Paul wrote, as we saw on the first day, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, let's come to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and see what the law of God is to be with us. You see, the laws of God are what direct our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. The laws of God are truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. Now here is what is going to be in our lives, see. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Now let's pick it up here in verse 15. Now with the Holy Spirit in our minds, now we have the strength, the tools, and ability to go forward and do the things that God wants us to do, to overcome from within. You see, to have things outside, because the law out here never made anyone do anything. Everything we do is a choice, keeping the laws and commandments of God. And where did the choices begin? Within our minds, from within. Now, verse 15, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he had previously said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts, and I will inscribe them in their minds. Now, I want you to stop and think for just a minute. How far away from the truth of God is the Christianity of this world when they say the law has been done away? Now, this is why we have the book about Judaism. And this is why we have the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. And this is why we have the book, The Christian Passover. And everything that we publish and do and preach goes right to this. Now, in addition to it, since all the firstborn belong to God, we then are firstborn from among the world into the family of God. Now, we'll cover that a little bit later as we go forward. All right? Let's come to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Now, here's what we need to understand and the way that we need to apply it to our lives so that we can realize that God is doing something in us. And living in this world, we're to be the light of the world, we're to be the salt of the earth, but we are also to be the begotten sons and daughters of God, growing and changing and overcoming. And God is creating in us his character, his love, his truth, his righteousness, and implanting into our minds his laws and his commandments, so that we can get rid of the sin within, so that we can have our lives in sincerity and in truth, so that we can become that new creation, so that at the resurrection, which is pictured by the holy day of Pentecost, we will completely shed everything of the flesh. Now let's read it here. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is especially not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, and that means your own works. That's why Protestantism is such a unique counterfeit, because it looks so good and it sounds so good. But do you not think that Sunday keeping and holiday keeping are the works and traditions of men? So how can that bring salvation? It cannot. Not of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship. We are the workmanship of God. God the Father, Jesus Christ, dwelling in us. And that's what makes us unleavened. Created in Christ Jesus, see, because God, being creator, is always creating, is always doing, is always changing and growing and overcoming. And that's testified by everything that we see, from the individual cells in our bodies to the great, fantastic creation of the vastness of the universe. Workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto the good works. Those are the laws and commandments of God. Those are the building of the character, as Peter said in 2 Peter, the first chapter, to build the character and to realize that God wants the character first, so that when we receive eternal life, we will not sin ever, ever again, which God ordained beforehand in order that we might walk in them. So always remember this. If you're walking in the laws and commandments of God, if you're doing the truth of God, then you need to understand it's not what your works are. They are the works of God in you. And how does that happen? Well, the Apostle Paul made it very clear. Come down here to verse 16. That he might reconcile both, that is Jew and Gentile, to God in one body through the cross, having slain the enmity, all hostility to the law of God, all hostility to God by putting our own traditions instead of the word and truth of God, have been slain. Because every time there is a human tradition or a human way put in place of God's way, that creates an enmity between you and God, as does sin as well. Because you see, those traditions are also sin, though they may be well-intended. All right. Now when he came, he preached the gospel, peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have direct access by one Spirit to the Father. Now remember how we covered on Passover night. And never forget this. Jesus said that he loves us. Jesus said that the Father himself loves us. Now, in this life, there can be nothing greater than that. That's why everything in the world we are to set aside. Let's read on and see. So then, you are no longer aliens and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You are being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So as God looks down on the earth and he sees all of his children wherever they are on the earth, he's working with them, he's helping them, he's sending his spirit. They have his word. They understand what they need to do. We yield to God daily. We confess our sins daily. We grow and change and overcome daily. Yes, we fight the world. We fight Satan. We fight sin. We fight self. Yes, we do. That's how we do it, with God the Father and Jesus Christ in us. Now notice, in whom all the building being conjointly fitted together is increasing into a holy temple in the Lord, and whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. So let's see what we have to do. Why the Feast of Unleavened Bread is so very important for us to do. Now, let's come to 1 John, the second chapter, because here in 1 John, the second chapter, we also have that there are many antichrists out in the world and that they are of Satan the devil. And next to the last verse in chapter 5, it says here, verse 19, chapter 5, we know that we are of God. And that's what the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread really distinguish us, that we are of God. We love God. We serve God. We love each other. We keep the commandments of God. We are the workmanship of God. But here in verse 19, not next to the last verse, but next to the last verse, it says, we know we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. And what does the wicked one hold out to us very enticingly? The world. This is why we have the command in chapter 2 and verse 15. So let's go back there and read it. Verse 15. Do not love the world. Now, God loves the world because he is the one who's judging the world. We are to come out of the world just as the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And what is the whole religious system of this world called today? Sodom and Egypt, Revelation 11:8. And we are to be the sons and daughters of God, showing forth the fruits of righteousness and truth and goodness and love. Therefore, verse 15, do not love the world. That is the Satan's system and society of this world. And you think about what is happening in the world and look at what's taking place because people have rejected God. Nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And see, if you love the world, you go by the world. You obey the world. You do the things of the world. But if the love of the Father is in you, you love God the Father and Jesus Christ more than anything in the world, more than any other human being. Because what did Jesus say? He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, it means you love God more. He said that in Matthew, the 10th chapter. If anyone loves me, loves his father or mother more than me, he is not worthy of me. See, and yes, our own lives. Yes, our own things. See, because God has the fantastic things that he is going to give us. As we saw on the Passover night, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many offices, and he's preparing a place for us. All right? That's why we're not to love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because everything that is in the world, now living today where we have all of the communication like we have here with the videos, television, smartphones, dumb phones, handheld devices, iPads, whatever you you want to have direct communication. The world is out there at the touch of a finger. And just like there is the full course of evil through those things, the gospel is also being preached. Okay? But what does it show us? Here, this describes what goes on in television 24 hours a day. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pretentious pride of physical life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world and its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Now, isn't that something? That's what we're doing, brethren. In keeping the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, we're doing the will of God. When we keep his commandments and have his laws written in our hearts and in our minds, God is working within us and doing his will within us. And we do the will of God. Not the things willed by the flesh. Not the things willed by Satan the devil. Not the things willed by society. And furthermore, with the power of the Holy Spirit, he has given us the ability to overcome sin. And that's what the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread is about. All right. Now, since we're here in chapter 2, let's go back to verse 5. And here's the whole goal. Verse 5. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, it means everything of God. Just like Jesus said, we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In this one, now notice, the love of God is being perfected. Now we're going to see how that love is perfected. And that love and the laws of God within us give us the ability to overcome the law of sin and death. God doesn't remove it from us, but we must overcome it, and we will see how we are to overcome it, and God's love is being perfected in us, and by this means we know that we are in him. Now notice verse 6, because this ties right in with what we read in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk, even as he himself walked. And that is called Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now let's see what that does. Let's come back here to Romans, the 6th chapter. Now we've covered this concerning baptism and being in the new covenant and living under grace. But let's see what we are to do because we're under grace. And let's see how that puts us while we are in our standing with God in a complete separate category than the world. That's why we are not to lust after the world, love the things in the world, live the way that the world does. We are to live the way that God wants us to. Now let's pick it up here. Romans, the 6th chapter. And let's, all right, here we are. Verse 11, Romans 6. In the same way also, you should indeed reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. You're not going to actively participate in it. You're going to overcome it. You're going to put it down through the power of the Spirit of God, and this tells us how we are to do it here, see. But alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord, therefore, do not let sin rule in your mortal body by obeying it in the lust thereof. We are to grab that thought, cast it away daily, as we will see. We are to ask God to cleanse our heart, to cleanse our mind, to cleanse our soul, to cleanse our being, to help us every day. Just like every day, our body has to get rid of waste. Every day, we need to get rid of the spiritual sin. We need to fortify ourselves with truth and righteousness. Just like every day we need to eat physical food. Every day we need to eat spiritual food, which is studying the Word of God and living by it and applying it, see. That way then sin will not rule. Doesn't say we won't be tempted. Doesn't say we don't have to fight it. But it won't rule in our lives and obeying the lust thereof. Now verse 13, likewise, do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Rather, yield yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead. Because when we were buried in that watery grave of baptism, we pledged our death to God. Now, he brought us up out of the water so that we can live and change and grow. And that's what the Feast of Unleavened Bread is all about. And your members as instruments of righteousness, because you have the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the laws and the commandments of God within you. And you can overcome, and you can resist, and you can put down, and you can get rid of those characteristics of sin and wretchedness in your life. Now, we also need to do this, as we will see. Because today, we are assaulted with so many visual things of sin. We need to ask God to help us. We need to ask God to cleanse our minds and to get rid of these flashback thoughts that we have of sin in our lives in the past. Now, we will see how that is done in just a bit. Now let's continue on here. Verse 14, for sin shall not rule over you. Now you have to fight it. Let's see how much we have to fight it. Let's see the problems that come along. It doesn't say we won't sin, but it says that we should not let it rule over us. Come back here to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and let's see how we overcome the sin within so it doesn't rule over us, that we love God, love each other, love Jesus Christ, keep the commandments of God. All of those things are one giant package of true Christianity. Now, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 2. Here's how we do it. Having our minds fixed on Jesus, the beginner and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that lay ahead of him endured the cross, although he despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now meditate deeply on him who endured such great hostility of sinners against him, so that you do not become weary and faint in your minds. See? Because if we do not exercise the Spirit of God, if we do not use the laws and commandments of God within, if we do not rebuke the evil thoughts of Satan, the devil, that are projected against us, that come from the world on every side, if we do not have our hearts and minds cleansed through the Spirit of God and the Word of God, then we may yield to sin. But notice what he says here. Verse 4, for you have not resisted to the point of losing blood in your struggle against sin. Now, we'll come back to this a little later, but this is the whole point here. Do not let sin rule in your mortal body. Why? Because we're under the grace of God, and the grace of God gives us the power to change and overcome. Now, come back to Romans 6 and verse 15. Romans 6 and verse 15. Because we're under grace, Paul asked the question, what then, verse 15, shall we sin because we're not under law? and that means under judgment to death, has nothing to do with spiritually keeping the commandments of God and having them written in our hearts and in our minds. Now, you may need to go back and review the series that we did, Grace Upon Grace, and what does it mean to be under law? The whole world's under law. Only those who have the Spirit of God are under grace. You are not under law, but under grace. Yes. May it never be. No, we don't allow it. If we slip in sin, we repent and it's washed away. And if it's something that needs to be cleansed out of our mind, we go to God through His Spirit, the washing of the water of the Word, and have our minds renewed in Christ Jesus. That's how we are to do it. Now, verse 16. Don't you realize that to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey, you are servants of the one you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. And you cannot separate obedience and righteousness. But added to righteousness are all the things of love and hope and joy and virtue and knowledge, and all of those things are added to it, you see. But notice what Paul says here. Verse 17, and this is why we keep the feast of unleavened bread. But thanks be to God that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed. Now notice, in two verses, obedience and obey. Now keep that in mind, just in case you happen to have a conversation with a Protestant who thinks that the laws have been done away. Ask him about this. What does this mean? Ask him, does he know anything about Judaism? Because if he doesn't, and if he doesn't really understand grace, and Paul is saying right here, grace is not a license to sin. Grace is not a license to get rid of. No, indeed. Okay? But thanks be to God, you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart. Because it's written in your heart and in your mind. That form of doctrine. So you need teachings, you need doctrine, you need understanding, which was delivered to you. And having been delivered from sin, which we have, through Christ, and constant cleansing and constant being delivered, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, that's what we are to do, brethren. Now, let's see what he tells us that we need to do. See? We need to yield. That is a choice. That is a thought. That is active obedience to God. Verse 19. I speak from a human point of view because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you once yielded your members in bondage to uncleanness and to lawlessness unto lawlessness, so now yield your members in bondage to righteousness unto sanctification, because God is working in you. He is getting rid of the sin. He's putting in the character of God. And God cannot sin, and God is without sin. So what God is doing is giving to you His mind, His character, His Spirit, His Word, His commandments, His laws, and this makes you unleavened in Christ Jesus. All right? Verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Therefore, what fruit did you have in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end result of those things is death. But now you have been delivered from sin and have become the servants of God. Now, I want you to think about that. Remember what we read there in Ephesians, the second chapter. We have direct access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. How we have read in the book of Revelation that our prayers come up before the throne of God. How that under the grace of God, God loves us. God has given us his Spirit. God is working within us for us to change and grow and overcome. And in a world that is awash in sin and wickedness and lawlessness and wretchedness, okay, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end result at the resurrection is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And this is why we keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in sincerity and in truth. And that's why we ask God to give us the strength to change, to grow, to overcome. Now, let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let's see how this is an active process that we need to do all the time, day in and day out. See, every day is a new day. And this is why we're told, this comes right in with it, you see, so that we do not love the world. We do not embrace the things of the world. Now, sometimes that becomes a little difficult. Sometimes when we sin, as Paul wrote there, the sin that easily besets us, God has to correct us. But that correction is for good. That correction is for joy. That correction is for righteousness. That correction is unto eternal life. And we can thank God for it, praise him, and love him. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers in any manner. This can apply to marriage. This can apply to deep friendships and so forth. Unequally yoked. For what do righteousness and lawlessness have in common? Nothing. They're the opposite. And what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what union does Christ have with Belial? Now think about all of those things, you see. Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? See, now every one of these things then have to do with how to fulfill 1 John 2 and verse 15 through 17, see. Okay? And what agreement is there between a temple of God and idols? Remember the great sin of Israel? When they put the idols right in the temple of God. What did he have to do with it? He destroyed it. And always remember this. Just as God honors repentance, God also corrects his own first. And what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For you are a temple of the living God, exactly as God said. Now think about this for a minute. Think about this in relationship to the message to the Laodiceans. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Think about that. Christ in us. The Father in us, the truth in us. This is why we keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Every year we need to be renewed. Every year we need to have the rededication of our lives to the covenant of Christ. And then carry that through every day as we go along. Now notice, what did God say of the children of Israel when he brought them out of the land of Egypt? That they would be his people. Now notice what he says of us. Therefore, come out of the midst of them and be separate. Is that not what God did with Israel? Is that not what God has done with his church? Yes, indeed. Be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. And I shall be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Now, we're going to see the process that comes so that we can really, truly be the sons and daughters of God. And I will go ahead and take a break here, but remember this verse here. The Father himself loves you, dwells in you. Christ dwells in you. You have all the tools through the Spirit of God and the Word of God to change, to grow, and to overcome. And so we will cover those when we come back from taking a break.